You are listening to the INCJ podcast, Conversations about International Criminal Justice.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to a new episode of INCJ's Living Criminal Justice Research. Today, we are delighted to feature the PhD research of Ana Esquerra Roqueta. Together with my colleague Cal Hart, we will discuss her work and explore what it can teach us about community service orders. We hope this conversation contributes to the dissemination of relevant scientific knowledge and inspires future reflection on rehabilitation and desistance. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you enjoy this episode. Welcome, Ana. Your research focuses on community sanctions and community service orders, also known as CSOs. Could you tell us more about yourself and these concepts in your research?
Hi, hello, Jeffrey and Kyle. Thank you very much for interviewing me today. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share what I'm working on. And yes, as you already know, my name is Ana Esquerra. I'm CP Policy and Liaison Officer for now nearly 9 years, or I would say 10 years. And before that, I worked at the Catalan Ministry of Justice, mainly in a multidisciplinary team developing treatment programs for young offenders and their family in closed and in open settings. And I'm also associate teacher at the University of Barcelona.
Nice.
So wow. Again, I'm very happy to be here. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us, Ana. Before we explore some of the findings in more detail, I think for listeners' benefit and for our benefit, it'd be really great if you could tell us a little bit more about your PhD research, and what community service orders are in the Catalan context, and what your research is trying to answer, I suppose.
Thank you very much, Kyle. Okay, so the topic of my research is or wants to explore the rehabilitative and socio-educational potential of community service orders, in particular community work, in the Catalan context. In Catalonia, we understand community service orders or community work as community-based sanction that require people under probation to perform unpaid work for the benefit of the society. Officially, and I'm saying this between inverted commas, the measure aims to promote accountability, social reintegration, and reparation to the community, allowing people to maintain their family, employment, and social ties. In Catalonia, I would like to explain a little bit how this is delivered, let's say, in Catalonia. Mm-hmm. In Catalonia, this unpaid work is carried out with public institutions and non-profit organizations under the supervision of the Catalan justice system. It's a little bit like the Dutch system. We have like three different NGOs that deliver probation services, including unpaid work. And in particular, this unpaid work in Catalonia can be done in different settings. Community NGOs, public organizations, and others. Some examples, local councils, municipal services, community and cultural centers, public libraries, nursing homes and daycare centers, food banks, municipal sports facilities, animal welfare and protection organizations, and some others. So, having said this, from this perspective, I have three general objectives. The first one is to analyze the effects of community sanction orders on paid work in the different areas of the lives of sentenced people, especially explore the areas of family, social, and employment spheres, daily life, as well as identity and self-image. I also want to identify the factors that facilitate or hinder the rehabilitative effect of unpaid work, always including the social work perspective. And last but not least, I would like to, at the end, if possible, develop recommendations to improve the implementation of unpaid work in order to improve this rehabilitative potential and socioeducational potential also or always from the social work perspective. And here I would like to do all this, bringing alive, or let's say in another word, ensuring that the voices of service users and professionals are at the center of my thesis discussion, as they are the people who experience, deliver, and at the end, shape this measure on a daily basis. I know that I'm talking a lot, but I also would like to stay or to bring the focus on the social work. Why my focus is on the social work? Because at the end, community justice is about people and relationships. And I do think maybe I will have the opportunity to say a bit more about this later during this conversation. But I do think that social workers are the ones who can bring a balance between care and control. Balance that I think that it's a basic element when you are a probation officer.
Thank you for share with us these important insights. To what extent do you think professionals and clients differ in their views and experiences of CSOs?
This is a super interesting question. Well, actually, all questions are interesting. But I can answer this question partially. Because as you know, but I can answer it partially, but this gives me the opportunity to explain and share how I'm framing my research. Because now I'm in the first part, let's say. And in the first part, I'm interviewing service users. Because I want to approach to their narrative, to their experience. So now this is what I've done so far. And I do not want to, let's say, give my expectations for now on what professionals are going to say. But now I know what service users or clients said or shared with me. That if you want, I can share.
Please.
Oh, yes, please. Yeah. No, absolutely. And I think, Anna, you know, what you're analysing is super relevant, and certainly relevant, I think, across an international perspective. You know, really sort of, I suppose, that just from what you've said there, the vibe and the gist I'm getting from your research is that, you know, you really value the experiences of the people subject to probation, and you want to, I suppose, include their voice in the improvements that you're seeking to put together. And I suppose from the interviews you've conducted so far for your research, you know, what are the kinds of impacts that, you know, the participants have described, you know, that these community orders in Catalonia are having on their day-to-day lives? So you mentioned that your research is exploring the impact of community orders in not just a sense of identity and belonging, but also from the context of, I suppose, you know, how these orders have impacted positively or negatively on other aspects like relationships, you know, employment, I think you mentioned as well, and other more sort of practical areas of an individual's life, in addition to identity. So, yeah, I suppose if you could maybe discuss what some of those impacts are that you've found so far.
Yes, thank you, Kyle. I have to say that I enjoy it a lot, interviewing all these people. It has been at the beginning, I organized these as interviews, let's say structured interviews, but at the end it came more to natural conversations. And that was, I think, very nice. I think that I enjoyed a lot. I do not think that I can say that I enjoyed a lot. And I also had the feedback from some of the service users or people undertaking unpaid work that they also enjoyed the conversations we had. And I'm now in the phase, let's say, of putting all these narratives together and crossing the results, let's say. And for now, what I can see so far, I'm not at the end of this process, but what I can see so far is that participants describe highly diverse experiences. For some, unpaid work created a lot of stress, time pressure, and difficulties balancing work, family responsibilities, and caregiving. And this has a lot of relation with what Ioan Durnescu describe as pains of probation. And I could also, I mainly saw that in people with caregiving responsibilities, a full-time job, plus unpaid work. And here it's important to bring in the women perspective, because mainly women could describe this. Also, I saw this narrative in people who didn't have caregiving responsibilities or full-time job, but they were saying, oh my God, that was so time-consuming. If I would have a full-time job or I would have children to take care, this wouldn't have been possible for me, or it would have been much more heavy, you know. And in those cases, I'm thinking, and this is also a question for you, just to put it on the table and maybe we can all reflect on that. If unpaid work is bringing so much stress to people, does this help to create other narrative, pro-social narrative, pro-social identities, or it's only about punishment and paying something back?
When you mentioned just then, I did, the first thought that did come to my mind when you said that some of the impacts that have been described so far from participants in your study relate to sort of stress, time pressure, impact on relationships. Is this not, I mean, you called it the pains of probation, but is this not punishment? You know, is it not actually punishment for, you know, the, you know, for committing a crime? and I suppose it's, should orders not balance punishment and rehabilitation? I would assume that some of those orders also sit alongside, so they'll have unpaid work alongside maybe more rehabilitative type interventions attached to their order. Of course, I recognise the difference in terms of, you know, the impact from men and women, but I suppose there is a deeper question that I'm going to reflect back to you as to whether actually what so far they're describing and what you've mentioned so far, are they not just describing punishment?
Indeed, your question only reflects or echoes what I'm seeing in part of the people I interviewed. Yeah. This is something in the background and we need to see we need to see a bit farther, but this is definitely something I'm considering in my first article I'm working on now. But not all is negative, because others reported actually increased self-esteem, a sense of social contribution, okay, and opportunities to rethink their actions. Okay.
Nice.
So yeah, this is very positive. I would like to say that one of the, let's say, results, if I can use this word, is that the impact depends greatly on personal circumstances, time balancing between work and unpaid work and family responsibilities. Also, something super important to bear in mind is the quality of the placement, the quality of the place where they do the unpaid work. And what does it mean? How they felt treated at the place where they did the unpaid work, the relationships developed there. Where they felt like someone external, someone that was an offender, or they make this person feel like one something from the team. Mm. And also something, a third element that I would like to highlight is the relationship with the probation officer. What's the working alliance?
Yes.
I think that these three elements are crucial, let's say, part of a schema that helps us to understand how unpaid work can be meaningful for our service users.
I suppose that's I suppose a key interest that I think is coming through in this discussion and in your research is the rehabilitative potential, I think, that community service orders in your jurisdiction have, and maybe how they could be better aimed and directed towards supporting that rehabilitative potential. But in your view, Anna, what are the factors that can make a community service order's experience constructive and positive rather than just simply punitive? Because as I say, I think some of the impacts that you've described there previously sound like punitive measures, and that's what's coming through. But how can they be then made more rehabilitative?
Yes, thank you again. From the narrative of interviewed people, I could see, I already mentioned it a little bit in the question before, but I would like to highlight that unpaid work is most constructive, let's say, when participants perceive their work as socially useful, feel respected and recognized by the staff and host organizations. When I'm referring to host organizations, I mean the places where they do the unpaid work. And also when our service users are given opportunities for reflection, responsibility, and meaningful participation. Also, positive relationship and individualized support are key elements. You know, I started thinking unpaid work a little bit similar as the electronic monitoring bracelet.
Oh, interesting. Tell us more. How have you drawn that similarity? Please tell us more.
Yeah. Let's see. I hope I will find the words to express myself in a proper way using a non-native language. But all in all, I want to say that unpaid work itself alone will not have the rehabilitative and socio-educational power that it will have if it's linked to a meaningful professional relationship.
Yes.
Unpaid work itself, it's punishment. But yes, if this is linked to a meaningful participation, feeling respected, feeling seen,
yes,
it's, you know what I mean? Its transformative potential emerges when it's linked or embedded within supportive professional relationship. When the people are being treated with respect, recognized as a person, given opportunities to contribute, in that sense, it is not the sanction itself that produces the change, but the quality of the human relationship and social experiences that accompany these, those are the ones that help people making changes. This is what I'm seeing from those narrative and from the experience. But what do you think? Does this?
I'd be interested to hear what Jeffrey has to say on this. Actually, from a Dutch perspective, Jeffrey, what's your reflections on the discussion so far, and on Anna's question there?
I think it's what Anna just said. It's a key message for every country in the world to hear that. The working alienation of the probation officer and the clients, it's so very important, because otherwise it's only a punishment and it's not good of the CSOs for the working of that.
Mm. Anna, in England and Wales, when somebody's sentenced to unpaid work, they can just be given an unpaid work standalone requirement, but many times people are also subjected to other requirements, such as rehabilitation activity days or the requirement to complete a program. There are other rehabilitative interventions attached to the order alongside the unpaid work, which is obviously seen as a lot more punitive. Is that the same in Catalonia? Is that the same in your jurisdiction?
Yes, it can happen. It can happen sometimes that unpaid work is linked to a rehabilitative program or what we call educational program. Sometimes it's linked to this. But it also can go alone.
Right. That sounds similar to the England and Wales perspective. Is that the same in the Netherlands, Jeffrey?
I think it's the same in the Netherlands. Yes. I also read in your research that narrative reconstruction is considered an important part of the change process. Could you explain what narrative reconstruction means and why it is important in the context of CSOs?
Narrative reconstruction is very linked to the distance theory. And it's used in many different researchers, and also in United States, there are different researchers using this methodology or this perspective. And it's actually the availability. I'm describing this in my own words, not being very, a theoretical using definition, but it's the capacity or the availability of a person that creates a new identity away from crime, and how narrative, building a new narrative or creating a new narrative away from crime helps on the resistance process. And this is very important. This is very important because, as we said before, the new identity, it's a crucial element to stop offending. And I would say, yes, this is very important, but only it happens in certain conditions. For example, narrative reconstruction, we have to bear in mind that, of course, when people are able to make sense of the experience in a positive way, when participants feel useful, again, respected, again, social valued, they can begin to see themselves not just as someone who committed an offense, but as someone capable of contributing to the society in a meaningful way.
Yes.
That is where the development of a more pro-social identity can begin. And this links to the discussion or exchange we had at the beginning about what's happening with the people that reported bad experience under unpaid work, are stressful, super heavy, and so on. Does this help to have a new narrative and a new identity? And yeah. There are important researchers that use this in a way or another. Chad Maruna, Ioan Dornescu, Rob Canton, Fergus McNeil, Peter Raynor, Jill McIvor, Bed Weaver, and many other. Some of them are using this in a very direct way, and some other in a very not direct way, but you could perceive this in their articles, in the way that they write and their focus and so on.
Certainly. I think you can certainly see in their writing and in this discussion and in your interests, I think, that underpin the research, you know, there's that real strong social work perspective and ethos and values. And I know you mentioned that earlier. So what do you think social work values and principles can uniquely contribute to community justice practices across Europe?
Wow, across Europe. Wow, this is very challenging because I don't know if the way of understanding social work across Europe it's the same. I want to believe so, but okay, in general terms, I would say that the core values and concerns of social work and social workers are the quality of relationship, social support, recognition, and at the end to help improve people's life, right? I would also highlight that social workers have the skills to work using working alliance, how to work with involuntary clients. Mm-hmm. Social workers have the skills to coordinate community service, mm-hmm. and among others, that bring an extra and important value to the probation work. Mm-hmm. And I also think that social workers can bring a restorative perspective into the criminal justice world. And I'm saying this in general terms, not about specific restorative justice practices or methodologies, as a way of seeing criminal justice fields and as a way of seeing people. So for some people, I think it's important to see that the professional that they have in front of them trust them, yeah. believe in yes. them.
Yes.
And I think that this is also one of the core values of social workers.
Yes.
And as I said, to bring this balance between care and control. I would say criminal justice social workers, I think this is one term that it's not used in Catalonia, but it's used in, at least in Scotland, a lot. And I don't know if in England, do you use the term criminal justice social workers, criminal justice social work? Do you use this also in the Netherlands? I'm asking.
We don't call workers criminal justice social workers here, but like you say, they do in Scotland. Jeffrey?
Anna, when we are talking about maybe the European context, but when you're looking at the Catalan context, what aspects of CSOs are working well and what areas do you think could be improved?
Okay, in Catalonia, unpaid work is working very, very well in the sense that we have a high level of experienced and committed professionals. We have three different NGOs that deliver an extensive net of unpaid work. And we also have the Catalan Ministry of Justice that is super coordinating all these services. Of course, through my research at the second level, I will have the opportunity to talk directly with professionals, with probation officers, following up those measures. And then I will be able to have a precise conclusion, and maybe we can have a second interview where I will be able to present all these results. But in general terms, something that I see so far, I would highlight two things. The first thing is that there are few places to do unpaid work. So there are people on attending list.
Okay.
So this is something that it's difficult and it doesn't go. I would say here, I would like to highlight the dissonance, discrepancy on timings. One is the judicial timing, and then the other is the timing of the person where can change their behavior. So this doesn't go in parallel. There is a dissonance, and this doesn't help. And then the second thing, would say that maybe Catalan probation officers, they do not have enough time to work on positive working alliance or to do this more individual work with people that are undertaking unpaid work.
Yes.
You know, people that are sent to different places to do the unpaid work, okay, they are sent to those places, but they see the probation officer very few times, I would say. They should see this person more often, also to help with reconstructing narrative, helping reflection, or even helping them in different areas of or of their life. Let's see. Those are, you know, preliminary areas where I can see some improvements. And on the second phase of the research, then I will be able to say this more, let's say, more, can you help me with this word, please? More strongly or
robust.
More robust, thank you.
We will meet again then, Anna.
Yes, I will be very happy about it. Thank you so much.
Let's stay in touch then.
Absolutely. Yes, no, Anna, thank you. Thank you very much. I mean, thank you for sharing your research findings. Thank you for doing this discussion with us in English as well, which isn't your native language. So we really appreciate that. And I'm sure listeners will too. And we really appreciate your reflections and such, you know, openness and insight. And your work is very powerful. It's a reminder, I think, that community justice is not, you know, sort of just about measuring compliance or reducing offending, but also about understanding the human experience and treating people with dignity and improving those conditions that can support real change and rehabilitation, and successful reintegration as well into the community. So, no, thanks very much. And thanks, Jeffrey, as well, my co-host. And with some questions as well. And thanks to everyone listening to the INCJ.
Thank you. Podcast. It has been super, super nice to be here with you. Thank you, Jeffrey. Thank you, Kyle. I hope we will have a second round. And I would like also to thank our listeners. I hope that conversation was of your interest. And maybe for the future, if we have some questions from our listeners, I don't know, we can find a way to send us questions. I don't know. Let's think. Let's reflect on that. But thank you, Jeffrey, and thank you, Kyle.
Thank you, Anna. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to the INCJ podcast, conversations about international criminal justice. To find out more, go to our website at criminaljusticenetwork.net. or follow us on Twitter at INTCJ Network.